The Your Safe Space podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land. This podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Welcome back. You're listening to the Your Safe Space podcast, hosted by me, Adele Marie. On air today, we deep dive into change. Triggered by a lot of change in my own life lately, I want to talk about it. Change can be scary, overwhelming, and disorienting, and I want to unpack it with you and talk about how we can better guide ourselves through whatever change is thrown our way in life. Let's get into the episode. Hello, my favorite humans. Happy Sunday. Welcome back. Oh my goodness, I forgot to say this on Thursday's episode, but happy May. It's a new month and I can't believe it. I say this every month. I'm like, how is 2024 going so freaking quickly? But it is. And as always, there will be some journal prompts for you. They will probably be in the Facebook group or on the Your Safe Space Pod Instagram story. If the story has expired, jump into the Facebook group and just search journal prompts. And then that way, all of the other ones that I've ever posted in there will come up as well. It should work, that search function. And I don't know why, but May just feels very good for me. I feel like it's a bit of a fresh start, a fresh chapter, and I'll talk about that in a second. But the day this episode comes out, it's also the fifth day of the fifth month. And I don't know why, but I love that shit so much. It just like scratches a part of my brain. And it is also Easter for our Orthodox listeners. And so happy Easter if you are celebrating today. And if you need to, I did do a really fun Easter episode back in, I'm going to say early April. So you can go back and listen to that. It talks about a lot of things, food, family. Yeah, you might be able to find some helpful stuff in there. Now, as always, we do start our Sunday shows with a what's taking up space. And I just realized I forgot to post what was taking up space last week because what was taking up space was the move. And yes, I have officially moved out, everyone. And I'm so happy that I can share it with you. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. And I am in the best mood today. You can probably even hear it in my voice, honestly. What a fucking journey. And I feel like you guys went through it with me. It was a roller coaster. Every excitement of maybe finding out if I was going to get one and then being rejected and then being excited and then being rejected and then being excited and then being rejected. It was up and down, but I am so blessed that I have been able to move over the last couple of weeks. I officially moved in and slept there for the first time on Saturday night. And oh, I had the best sleep that I've had, honestly, all year. Even I'm going to say since like September last year, because that is how long I feel like I have been like low-key going through it, but it was beautiful. And honestly, the nicest move that I have ever done because I was anticipating it to be horrible and I was anticipating it to be the worst because in the past, I have moved quite a bit. I've spoken about this a few times, but I did move interstate back in 2018. And when I lived in Sydney for those few years, I moved a lot. Like I lived by myself. I lived with an ex. I lived with a housemate. I lived in a hotel when I first moved there. And so I reckon I moved maybe 5 times or 6 times, including the move to Sydney and the move back to Melbourne. And so when you're by yourself in those environments, moving is already stressful, but when you're doing it by yourself as well, it can be even more stressful. So I was panicking. I was panicking because I was like, this is going to be fucked again. This is going to be the worst. But no, shout out to my sister Carla and my beautiful mum. They are angels and they helped me so, so much in every single way. So yeah, I definitely feel like I maybe learned a thing or two from all the moves in the past. Now I've got it down pat. I'm like a professional remover, removalist, mover, whatever you want to call it. And obviously I am loving, loving, loving my own space and just the fresh energy. And I think that's why I'm so excited for this month as well. Getting approved meant a lot to me. I felt like it was a little bit of a win. It's been a bit of a whirlwind in my life. And I will chat about the heavier stuff maybe down the track when I am feeling like I'm able to talk about that. But right now I'm just enjoying the space, enjoying the fresh energy. And yeah, I'm just so, so happy. Now I do have quite a bit to do. As I am recording this right now, my mattress is on the floor because I'm waiting for my bed frame to be delivered. I'm hoping that comes at some point during this week. I also have no table, no chairs, no rugs. It just looks like a very empty home. But I do have, thankfully, all of like the key appliance items. I got my fridge, my TV, washer, dryer, all that good stuff. So I can obviously live and function in there. It just doesn't look very aesthetic at the moment, which is the reality of moving into a new place. Anyway, after I am done recording here, and I know I'm rambling and this what's taking up space, but I'm obviously excited, I'm going to go do a big grocery shop because I was saying to Derek off air before we jumped on, like, I don't even have little bits and pieces. I need to go buy toilet paper. Even yesterday, I made Mum and I some rolls at lunch and I realized I didn't even have salt to put like on my tomatoes. So I need to go and do that big brutal shop. It's probably going to be expensive, but that's okay. And I'm so excited about it. But that is also what prompted this episode. So as always, coming to the Facebook group, I want to know what's taking up your space. But because I have moved, I was thinking, fuck, this is a lot to happen at once. And because I have moved, that also means that I need to find a new gym. And the thought of changing gyms absolutely terrified me. And I have changed gyms in the past, and I know it's okay to change gyms. Like I obviously left the gym I train at now when I moved to Sydney. I trained at a different gym in Melbourne as well. So I've changed before and I know I can do it, but I have so much panic and so much anxiety about the possibility of going into a new gym. And I thought, hang on, this is a good time to do this episode. This is a really good point for me to like step into change and kind of embrace it and lean into it. And so I wanted us to talk about it because I have so many thoughts and I want this episode to help anybody right now who is going through change, whether you are making changes or that change has been thrust upon you or whatever reason. I want to do a deep dive into it because I could talk about this all fucking day. So this might be a part one. I'll let you know at the end if you want to do a part two or you can let me know. And yeah, let's just jump into it. Change is so common. I think we all know that. And I think it's one of those things, you know, that saying, it's like, oh, there are certainties in life and I think it's like death, taxes, and what, change? I don't know. I probably butchered that. Let's just make it up. We can just say that change is so common for all of us every single day. There are different types of changes too. These can be both outside, like external, and they can also be internal as well. So an external example is changing the place that you live, which is what I've just gone through. Maybe it's changing the gym that you go to. Maybe it's people changing in your lives or you changing jobs or your work environment. The changes on the inside, the internal ones, are when you change your behaviors, your emotions, your thoughts, things like that. When I think about the biggest change in my life or the biggest changes, I looked back and I did a bit of prep for this episode like I always do. And the biggest, scariest changes for me were mainly external. I think about really big career changes that I made. I think about relocating interstate. That was fucking scary and huge and a massive change that took a lot of adjusting. Relationships ending, they're pretty big ones that stand out to me. Losing people I have loved, and whether that is just like losing people in my life who are just not in my life anymore, but also experiencing different types of grief for the first time, whether, you know, that is losing my uncle, I still remember that vividly, or losing my first grandparent, I also remember that vividly. I also can look back on other times where I've done that internal work to change my own behaviors or to change my own habits or to change the way that I think about things or approach things. And then I can also see that in the future, and I don't know what the future holds for me or for you, but I may go through other big changes again, whether that's parenthood, becoming a mum, whether that's health issues, and hopefully, touch wood, we don't have health issues, but it could be maybe moving again. I'm pretty sure I'll move again because I am renting at the moment, but it could even be new relationships. By new relationships, I mean like marriage or something a little bit different than what I've already gone through. But I can probably not even name all of the changes that exist because there are so many life changes. And even just rattling those off, I think about going from high school to uni, going from uni to full-time work. These are all of the life changes that we navigate through. And we're not often taught how to navigate through them or work through them and make it as, I guess, seamless and the process as easy for ourselves. And as I'm talking about this, I know a lot of these changes can be scary and some can be almost negative in a way, especially if they're put on us and we haven't been the one to make the change. But there's also good change as well. And I touched on that a little bit, but it's the changes where, you know, you want those changes, you strive for those changes, you want to ditch a bad habit that you've got going on, or you want to learn a new skill, or maybe you are really excited about a big life change. And I will talk a little bit about in a second of like the different types of change, but I really first want to touch on why it can be so hard. There's obviously so many reasons why change is hard and why so many of us dislike it and why it's uncomfortable. Even just saying the word change, if I think back to Adele at 20 years old, if you had have said, oh, this is changing or that is changing, and XYZ, I would just panic at the thought of it because I really hated change and I really struggled with it, especially in my late teens, early 20s. But it is so common and so normal that it's so hard for so many of us. And so I've picked out some of my top reasons why I think change can be hard. There's obviously many more that exist, but these are the ones I want to touch on now. The first one is because change really triggers all of that uncertainty and all of that fear. And change is directly for me in my brain relates to the unknown. It can really trigger things like fear. It can really trigger things like loss in a certain way, fearing failure in a certain way, or even just fearing like the consequences and ramifications of the change in your life. And so I think that can really be even scarier than the actual change sometimes. I know for me, especially when I look back at all of those moments that I was really scared to go into change and I had to just go into it, the worry that I had about these life changes was almost worse than the actual life changes for some of them. And so that can lead to things like, you know, resisting change or really being hesitant to it. And then that can just make it feel more difficult and sticky as well. The second reason why I think change is hard is because it's out of our comfort zone and humans are not designed for that. I always say the comfort zone is a beautiful place and I love chilling in my comfort zone. That is why I think change can be so difficult, because when you are not ready and when you are not willing and when you don't want the change, that is forcing you out of your comfort zone. And I don't mind being comfortable in my day-to-day life. And that is one way, and I'll get to like how you can embrace change too, but that is why we can be so scared to then step into the unknown, because things feel safe when we know what the status quo is. Things feel good. Things feel familiar. And as humans, we want that familiarity. We want that repetition. Whether we realize it or not, subconsciously it feels good. So when you're not having that and when change is forcing you out of your comfort zone, it can make it really difficult. And so there's also, and I'll touch on this a little bit later, there is talking about change and then actually doing something about it too. They're two different things. And I'll unpack a theory that might help some of you if you are wanting to make change and the thought of it and changing out of your comfort zone can be scary, but it doesn't have to be. The third one, and I think this is applying to me right now, is that there's too many changes at once and it can be really overwhelming. And so if you are experiencing a change that has then triggered lots of other things to change, it can be really, really overwhelming. And so that is why it can be harder to navigate. And a perfect example of this is that my parents separated, which is a massive life change. And I know some people listening would be like, oh, well, you're 30 years old, 31 years old. You're not a child. You shouldn't be reacting like that. But I'm sorry to say, if you are a child of divorce, I don't think it matters what age you are. It's still a very fucked up thing to experience and go through. So there was that. I wanted to obviously move out before that occurred or around the same time that that was occurring. And so I've gone through that change. I've gone through the change of moving. I'm living by myself as well, which is going to be an adjustment. I've lived by myself before, so I know I can do it. But again, it's just a change. And so no wonder the thought of me changing my gym, which is a very simple change and not that deep in the grand scheme of things, has terrified the fuck out of me. Because when you have too many things changing at once, it can be confusing. Like your threshold to change can be more sensitive. And that's how I'm feeling at the moment too. A couple of other reasons before we get into the different types of change is because you have a loss of control. And this talks about the changes that were imposed on you. When you don't want the change and you have to kind of go through it, that is where we feel out of control, where we feel like we don't have that control over our lives, over our environments, over our actions, over what we want. And what happens is that loss of control, that feeling of loss of control, can then lead to more feelings of feeling powerless, feeling frustrated, feeling resistant to change again, feeling anxiety, feeling worry, feeling scared, feeling that fear that can be directly related to that loss of control. And then that resistance to change is a big one. And that's the final point why I think it's so hard. And all of these are obviously related together, but humans are creatures of habit. And when you want to change, that requires breaking an old habit and then changing a new one. So again, these are the changes I'm talking about where like you want to make them. Maybe you're wanting to make changes in your lifestyle, in your health, whatever it is. Resistance to change can exist there, again, because you have to break an old habit or you have to change some behavior and take that accountability. And so you can be really reluctant as a human, which is not a bad thing. You're just a human having a human experience, but you can be really reluctant to let go of what you know, of that familiar feeling, and have that worry again around what it means when things change. Even if you are wanting to change subconsciously, you can still have that resistance, which can make it really hard. Now, there are different types of change, and depending on where you get your information from, whether it's books, podcasts, other research articles, things like that, there are lots of theories out there on the different types of change. I'm going to talk you through change from a book written by Janice Van Dyke, who is the author of a book called Finding Frances. I will link this in the notes. She explained four types of change. And don't get me wrong, these are not all of the types of change that exist, but I really liked how she categorized them. She has summarized them as this. The first type of change was the I can't wait change, which again is voluntary. These are the changes that you are welcoming. These are the changes that bring about a new phase of life. Maybe it's getting your dream job. Maybe you're getting married. Maybe you're buying a house. Maybe you're buying a car. Those changes where you are really looking forward to them and really welcoming them, where you can't wait for them to happen. These changes still require you to learn something new. They still require you to get out of your comfort zone. And they give you great confidence because they almost give you this satisfaction because you're willing to make the change and then you're making the change. It is a confidence builder. These changes are really good. These are the best kind of changes to feel. And it doesn't feel difficult or challenging because you are approaching it from that perspective of, oh, this is amazing. This is exciting. I can't wait. The next type of change is the I know I have to change. And this change is about bringing new opportunity, but it's also when you are avoiding this change at the same time. So you know it needs to happen, but you kind of don't want it to happen deep down. And a really good example, your kids move out of home, or when, you know, you maybe get some health advice and the doctor tells you that you might need to tidy up some of your health habits and you have to then make changes about your own behavior. And so this kind of change is a new beginning, but it does require you to stretch a little bit more. So whether that is stretching your mindset, stretching your own behavior, that one is not as welcoming as the first type of change, but it is a little bit more difficult because you are also avoiding it at the same time. It does require you to take accountability. It does require you to put in some work and have that opportunity for you to then be able to step into that new version of you and close that chapter on another part. And I think to myself, when I think about the I know I have to, this for me was very, very, I'm going to say, big for me when I moved to Sydney, because like I knew that I wanted to move because I was moving for my career and I was equally as excited, but I was also terrified. I was fucking terrified to like make new friends, to get out of my comfort zone, to live by myself for the first time. So I knew that I had to step up, and I did in the end, and it was the best thing for me, but it definitely was harder than a, oh, I can't wait kind of change. The third type of change is the please don't make me do this. And this is the type of change that is hard because someone else initiated it. And this change is not one that we like to feel because we didn't want it. We didn't ask for it. These type of changes can be, an example that I'm thinking is like a breakup. I think some of you might remember my breakup healing journey on TikTok. That was decided by the person that I was dating at the time. And that was the first time that I had gone through a breakup that wasn't like mutually decided, or that wasn't decided by me. And I really struggled with that. And that was probably one of the hardest parts of me healing from that breakup, because again, it was, please don't make me do this. Like, I didn't want to do this. I still wanted to be with him. And so it is really that change where you have to start over when you don't want to. The changes, as you can tell, are getting a little bit more difficult. Okay. So this one is a hard change to go through. And then the last change that Janice identified was the, where do I start? And this is the worst kind of change. This is the hardest kind of change. This is the devastating, terrible kind of change that you don't want. It is the changes that are unanticipated. It is the changes that trigger like severe stress, severe panic, severe worry, and leave you feeling, where do I begin? At rock bottom. These are the changes that are the hardest to go through and the changes that are the most difficult and the changes that people dread the most. I really wanted to go through that because I loved seeing how I could slot some changes into those areas. And I really love having like a practical kind of way to go about things where I can say, oh, this fits this label. And I really love kind of labeling things and putting them into boxes, right? Obviously, I also know there are going to be changes that probably don't slot into any of those. So with everything, take it with a grain of salt. But I'm going to share with you some of my favorite tips to actually work through change and try to approach it with a way that makes you feel empowered, which makes you feel less fear and makes you feel more capable of it. Because like many things we talk about on this podcast, change is something that we can get better at, and change and navigating change can be a muscle that we work at and strengthen over time too. So my first tip to becoming more okay with change is to being flexible with it and to actually staying open to it and trying to approach it with that growth mindset. Now, I remember in season one of this podcast, I did a very good episode, if I can say that about my own podcast. Yes, I can. But it was about growth mindset. Go back and listen to that as well, because that is a large part of how you can look at change with an open mind and looking at change with being willing, like being having that willingness to adapt to new circumstances. And again, this is not something that I could do very easily in my early 20s, but as I have gotten older and as I have also experienced more change as well, I've been able to kind of embrace it a little bit better and also even embrace sitting in that uncertainty and sitting in the unknown, because I remind myself, like, I can do this. I've gone through some fucked up changes in the past. Why can't I do it again? It is also a really good idea to be open-minded in general, but with change, because when you are being open-minded, you can then look at new ways to do things. You can look at a different perspective. You can look at a different solution. You can build your resilience. You can trial something new. You can use it as practice in your own practice for getting better at dealing with change. And I think as well, a lot of us love being comfortable, love being in our comfort zones. And even if you feel amazing in your life right now in every single way, I would still recommend for you to just have that willingness and that readiness to adapt anyway. And I would even say, try to put yourself out of your comfort zone more and try to do things that scare you a little bit so you can build up that tolerance, because I think sometimes we can also find ourselves in ruts or feeling a bit stale and things like that. Try to find the little ways in your day-to-day that you can kind of stretch yourself out of your comfort zone and feel like you are bridging that gap, even if you don't really feel like it's needed. And I would recommend that, especially if you are just feeling content and safe and comfortable right now. Not that that's a bad thing, but what can you do in little ways to build up that flexibility and build up that open-mindedness and that adaptability? Tip number two is probably my favorite, and it is to find a strategy that works for you. Now, this is going to go off on a bit of a tangent, so bear with me, but I want to introduce you to the change curve. The change curve is founded by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and it's called the Kubler-Ross change curve. Give it a quick Google if you're walking right now or doing something else while you're listening to the podcast, not if you're driving. But I learned about the change curve in my corporate days. And you're thinking, how does that relate? Well, obviously, we go through changes in our corporate life as well. When companies are introducing new systems or processes or things like that. And so when we would roll out change to the teams, we would reflect back on the change curve, because what the change curve does is it describes the way that humans move through change. And so if you give it a quick Google, you can see there are five stages in the change curve. There is denial, there is anger, there is bargaining, there is depression, and then there is acceptance. And the thing is, these stages obviously aren't set in stone. You can experience both or multiple stages at the same time. You can also move around the stages. You can have them overlap. This model is not the only way to navigate change. It is one of them that I like to look at and reflect upon. But why I loved it so much is that it actually helped me also understand myself when I am moving through change. As I said, I am someone who loves a bit of science-based, a little bit of labeling this, labeling that, having that psychology kind of background. And so it helped me understand my own reactions to change. And then it also, obviously, in a workplace setting, helped me understand my team's reaction to change, because people react differently and people can dip into this change curve at different points as well. But what I also loved most about the change curve was that I knew I would be able to make it through to acceptance. because I could pinpoint on the change curve where I would be, and I knew that I would get to the acceptance in the end. And that almost gave me like light at the end of the tunnel kind of vibes. And so when I'm going through it, I like to reflect on that because I'm like, oh, hey, like I know I can get to that acceptance point again. There's also another model as well. And this model is about when you are changing your own behavior. So I think the change curve in my mind relates more when you are having change thrust upon you and you don't really want it. And this other model, it's called the trans-theoretical model, is more about changing your own behavior. And I love this concept as well. So this model was developed in the 1970s, and this was by researchers James Prochaska and Carlo Di Clemente. And they were really about better understanding how humans go about making lasting change. And so again, there's six stages to this one. You can give it a Google as well. It is pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and termination. And their studies basically found that these stages can identify a person's readiness to make actual change in their life and to change their behavior. And so obviously the stages range. Very similar to the other concept that I just spoke about, you can dip in and out. You can also start again. You can overlap. You can experience multiple things at the same time. And you can cycle through these stages almost at the same time as well. And you can also go through it multiple times in your journey too. But I really love having things like that where I can see, okay, this is kind of where I am. I'm at this stage in making changes in my own behavior, or I'm in this stage in accepting changes when they've been thrust upon me. There's obviously no one best solution that fits everyone, but I wanted to bring both of those to your attention just in case it does relate and it does make you feel a little bit better in your own change journey too. I really think as well, focusing on when it comes to like strategies, focusing on what you can control versus what you can't. I speak about that at length on this podcast too. Helps you feel better when there are things going on that are inevitable, that are happening out of your control. And I think that also goes for some problem-focused coping as well, where you worry about what you can control. Do you have the solutions for that? Can you make changes or do whatever to make you feel better? And if you can, then that makes you feel better and adapt to the change as well. My third tip is, can you look at change from a different perspective? Even the changes that were forced upon you, even the changes that you didn't want, even the changes that you wanted to get rid of and reject, can you look back in your life? And I would recommend this as a little journal activity. Look back and figure out some changes that you have gone through in the past, even if it hasn't been positive, even if it has been a little bit negative. And can you use that knowledge to then carry it forward and to give you that peace and to give you that hope about being able to know that you can manage change and that you can, in a way, have some kind of control and that you know that you have coped before so that you can cope again. And almost just looking at change as, instead of this scary thing, you can look at it with realistic eyes. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, change is rainbows and butterflies and sunshine and lollipops, but can you just look at change as, yes, it is going to be hard, but I can still do it. Yes, it might be a bit difficult, but I can still do it. Yes, it might be a bit uncomfortable, but I can still do it. And just adding that second part, it's like, yes, it can be hard and I know I'm capable. Yes, it can be difficult and I know I'm capable. So really trying to just shift your perspective on it. Again, letting go of the things that are out of your control, focusing on your energy of the areas that you can control, and really just knowing that any actionable steps, if you can take them, you take them. And any that you can't, you need to kind of let go and just kind of backing your ability. So I love that as an activity because, again, it's like hindsight is a beautiful thing. I wish that, you know, while you're going through some shit, you can learn those lessons, but you often can't. So that's why it's helpful to go back and look at some changes in the past where you navigated it through and made it through. And again, I'll give you that other example. Breakups, your first breakup versus your second breakup or your third breakup, you get better each time. Again, it's just adapting and looking at how you navigated it in the past. My fourth tip is to be gentle and realistic with it. Don't just jump on the gun or like put too much pressure on yourself. Give yourself time. Even with me, this whole thing with the gym, I technically have my current gym membership until August. So technically, I don't have to really change gyms right now. I can still keep going to my gym until August. Does that make me worry? No. Do I have to change gyms right this second? No. If you feel like there is too much change happening at once and you just want to do one thing at a time, that's also okay as well. You don't need to put too many expectations on yourself. You also don't need to put too much pressure on yourself. And it goes back to, as well, being gentle, just that compassion. Like, especially if you're going through some really heavy changes right now and changes that you haven't experienced before, give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. And again, do what you need to make yourself feel better through it. And then my last tip is to get some professional help if you need, okay? And I'm talking about therapy, I'm talking about counseling, I'm talking about support groups, whatever. Therapy has been probably one of the main reasons why I have gotten better at change as well. I've told you guys I started therapy in 2020. I still go to therapy. I go every, I'm going to say, usually when things are feeling healthy and I'm feeling good, I go every 4 to 6-ish weeks. But when I'm struggling with things, and if I am going through big life changes, or if I am going through very heavy patches of my life or poor mental health patches, I try to see my therapist more. There is no shame in getting help. And what I have loved learning through therapy as well is that I've learned how to cope. I've learned how to kind of navigate the change thanks to the tools that she has taught me. And these are, again, just new ways to think about things, new ways to navigate stuff. So if you need that help, please check the show notes. There'll be some links in there as well for you. And yeah, I just wanted to have this episode to make you feel a little bit better about wherever you are in your change journey and make you feel a little bit better if you are going through some scary changes for the first time, to know that you will be okay. It will pass. You will make it through the change curve and you will feel better in the end. All right, guys, we are at the end of the show. I really liked that episode and I hope you did too. As I said at the start, if you did like it and you would like some more, because I think we could deep dive into things like the change curve or even the other model that I spoke about, let me know, because I feel like I could talk about it all day. It's very fascinating to me. But my PS for the show and the wrapping up of the show, my little recommendation, is very niche and it is a shop that I found online. From one of you, actually. One of you sent me a DM on Instagram, so thank you if this was you. But the shop is called Gigi and Tom, and I had never heard about this shop before, but they sell homewares, and they sell the cutest styles. And I did post my Pinterest mood board or vision board for my new home onto my Instagram story, and then one of you DM'd me saying, this shop, Gigi and Tom, has the exact same vibe as what you're going for, so check it out. And sure enough, it did. And so I jumped on, and that was like the first thing I bought after I had gotten approved. But I purchased a Dachshund salt and pepper shaker, and they're so adorable. And I also purchased a little serving plate. It's like a cottage serving plate. It's so cute. But oh my God, dangerous, because I feel like I could buy so much shit from that shop, honestly. Everything on there is super cute. And I also feel like what I purchased was reasonably priced as well. Like the salt and pepper shakers, I think, were $15. And I was like, that's pretty good. And they're really cute. And I just love the detail on them as well. And I love really beautiful like ceramics and things like that. So I'll probably be doing a couple more orders there. But yeah, that's my recommendation today. And if you guys have any other recommendations for me, if you think you like Gigi and Tom and you know other shops that fit that vibe, don't be afraid to send me a DM too. All right, I'm going to wrap the show here. Thank you so much for listening, as always. I love you guys listening and I love seeing where you listen from. So as always, tag me, tag the pod, and please give us a rating now. We have obviously Spotify and Apple. I know most of you listen through Spotify. If you haven't, this is your sign to go and send me a 5-star review. And if you listen on Apple, please do that too. And please tell someone that you love about this podcast, because at the end of the day, word of mouth goes further than any 5-star review. Okay. Also follow us on Instagram, join the Facebook group, and follow our TikTok too. And I will see you guys next time. Have a good week and look after yourselves, look after each other. Bye. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Your Safe Space is a part of the Amplify Podcast Network.